following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Steve Woodhouse of the Knoxville Journal-Express and Pella Chronicle, and Josh Blake of the KNEI Radio in Waukon. The first question will come from Steve Woodhouse.
Hey, good morning, Senator. How are you?
Good morning. I'm glad to be with you.
So, have you had a chance to review the nuclear deal with Iran yet, and what are your thoughts?
Well, I'll give you some thoughts, but I haven't reviewed it. I don't know that we got the full text yet, but don't forget there's some annexes that won't be made public that I have an opportunity to study, too. But whether it's those annexes or whether it's a document you're asking me about, I have 60 days to study it, and I'll get it read and draw conclusions. But I can start out by saying probably where I left off, if you would ask me the same question in the last 30 days, I'm very skeptical, even more skeptical when I've heard commentary on what it is. It seems to me that where the president was in 2012, what he wanted to accomplish, that a great deal of it was given away. And I don't want to say that Iran didn't make some movements, but I think we made a lot more movements. And so something that doesn't have on-the-spot surveillance and inspection wouldn't, and it doesn't have, it could take up to 24 days to resolve any disputes whether or not there ought to be the sort of inspection I just said. It seems to me that that's a very weak point and detracts from what Kerry a couple months ago tried to convince us in a secured briefing that they were not going to be signing anything that was, it wasn't based on trust. In other words, it was going to be verifiable. Well, if things can be changed in 24 days, which they probably could be, it doesn't seem to me that that's a verifiable situation.
Yeah, good afternoon, Senator. Got a question about, it's been in the news the last couple of days about Planned Parenthood, and apparently there's been talk that there's been some selling of baby parts. Tell us a little bit on your take on that and what's been happening.
Well, first of all, there isn't technically an investigation, but for sure there are questions being raised, and it could lead to an investigation, but I would draw that conclusion after we get our letters answered from Planned Parenthood and from the Justice Department. In regard to the Justice Department, the questions resolve around what they consider the law to be, because there's some law in this area, and to what extent are they enforcing that law, or how do they interpret that law for enforcement? So these are the inquiries that we're making of the Justice Department. In regard to the Planned Parenthood, just to learn more from them about it. But I wouldn't call it an investigation. I'd just call it an inquiry at this point.
Can you tell me a little bit more about this education bill and how it differs from the child left behind?
Yeah. Well, very happy to. In fact, the next vote I will cast will probably be overwhelming passage of this. Now, I could say the previous law that this is replacing, calling No Child Left Behind, that I voted for it, and it passed overwhelming, like maybe 90 to 10, just as a guess on my part. Didn't turn out quite as planned. And that's kind of frustrating, because when you have a Republican president and Senator Kennedy who have different views on education, and they come together and it passes overwhelmingly, you kind of think, well, you've probably struck a happy compromise here. And it was a happy compromise, but it didn't turn out to do what was expected. So that was more of the federal government involvement. And then we go to Secretary of Education, probably going beyond anything No Child Left Behind allowed him to do, And he had this program called Race to the Top. That's where every state adopted Common Core because they thought that that they would get a lot of federal money. About a dozen states got Race to the Top money. So just overwhelming concentration, both under Bush and now under Obama, of education in Washington, D.C., overemphasis upon testing is just one example. Senator Alexander, if you ask him his question, or this question you asked me as chairman of the committee and former secretary of education, he said that when this legislation becomes law, the federal government's not going to be a national school board. So basically, if I sum up what I'm trying to tell you, it's called it's deregulation, putting more authority on local, back to local school districts and the state governments where the Constitution was intended in the first place where it be.
Talk a little bit about some changes perhaps in the mandatory minimum sentencing rules, and that would be for nonviolent drug offenders and that sort of thing. Can you talk about that?
Well, since November, when I announced that I was willing to look at this, and in March when we started negotiating, and there's an important meeting this afternoon among seven members of Congress on this very issue, we haven't resolved these issues, but I'll tell you what I'm trying to accomplish. I'm trying to accomplish some reduction in mandatory sentencing, but not to cross the board like a Democrat Durbin or conservative Republican like Lee want to do, but to do it in a way that that doesn't hurt law enforcement and still would put people that maybe are in prison and less dangerous than other people so that their mandatory minimums can be cut. But, for instance, I'll give you an example where I don't want to go, reducing from 10 years down to 5 years for people that are involved in the importation of cocaine and heroin. I think that would be a bad move. And we want to do it in a way that gives judges a little bit more discretion but doesn't hurt law enforcement when law enforcement uses mandatory minimums to negotiate with people a reduction of possible imprisonment for the sole purpose of getting information from low-level drug dealers to get drug kingpins. And that's a very important tool for law enforcement.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on the future of our border security. Are we putting more resources into the border in the future, or what are, how are we going to look here in the future, you think?
Well, right now, the president basically has an open border. Now, he would argue with that because he could give you some figures that more people are returned. So maybe border isn't as much of an issue with this administration, even though it isn't adequate, because if you stop them at the border, then the next thing I'm going to mention, interior enforcement, isn't an issue. But I don't think this issue is going to be solved until we get a comprehensive immigration bill, and that doesn't look like it's on the surface. I'm working on some immigration issues like EB-5, H-1Bs, to take some of the fraud out of those programs, but I'm not working on a comprehensive energy bill until the House passes one. Thank you, Steve and Josh, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.